We have a rather long text this morning. The title of our sermon is Questions and Answer. The text is Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 13, and I think that it might be beneficial for us to hear these words again. Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Why have you planted them? Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But you, O Lord, know me, you have seen me, you have tested my heart toward you. Pull them down like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? The beasts and birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, He will not see our final end. If you have run with footmen, and they have wearied you, how will you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, in which you trusted, they weary you, then how will you do in the flooding of the Jordan? For even your brothers, the house of your fathers, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. My heritage is to me like a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. Therefore, I have hated it. My heritage is to me like a speckled vulture. The vultures around are against her. Come, assemble all the beasts of the field. Bring them to devour. My rulers have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate. Desolate, it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate because no one takes it to heart. The plunderers have come on all the desolate heights in the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land to the other, and to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but do not profit. But be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Jeremiah humbly questions the Lord about his righteous judgments. At one time or another, I think most of us who are Christians have either verbally questioned God or questioned God in our minds about the prosperity of the wicked. People who don't have any inkling, any indication at all that they recognize their Creator, that they are obligated to serve Him, that He provides everything that is needful for life. They are not thankful, but they get along just fine. Those of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, sometimes, like the psalmist says, it seems like we're chastened every morning. And every time we think we're getting it right, the Lord shows us that we didn't quite make it. And this is because we have sin natures. And sometimes those of us who have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ forget who God is. Almighty God is sovereign. And providentially, He controls everything, even the prosperity of the wicked. Almighty God controls our lives from start to finish. And He is all wise and never allows anything to happen to us that is contrary to His good and perfect will. The psalmist in Psalm 73 speaks to the same issue. And no matter how spiritual we are, at times, we just wonder, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? I was sharing with someone last week that it took us 17 years to get this building. 17 years. Well, what happened during those 17 years? During those 17 years, there were some hard times, some really hard times. We met in Conackamack Middle School in Piscataway for 5 years, from 1990 to 1995. And every Sunday, it was a question as to whether or not the building was going to be open so that we could get in to set up for our worship. I looked at some of the churches in the area, and I knew from past experience that they weren't preaching anything. They weren't trying to do it God's way. We're trying to do it God's way, and we're having a hard time every week. Well, the Lord knew what He was doing, and the Lord taught us, at least He taught me, that His way and His will is a good and perfect way. And we need to learn to wait on Him. Psalm 73 begins the third book of the Psalms. The Psalms are actually five books, and it was the song books of Israel. But in Psalm 73, and I wish you would turn to Psalm 73 so that you can see this. It says here, this is a psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are of a pure heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There's some people, beloved, who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, we might say lock, stock, and barrel, who have trouble every day. And then there's some people in the world who don't give God a thought, getting along just fine. They have more than heart could wish, as the psalmist says here. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They have written their wills, and they have directed the course of all of the wealth that they've accumulated. So when they lay down and die, that's all right, because it's going to go on just like I planned for it to go on, so they think. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as a necklace. Now, there's nothing wrong with wearing a necklace. But if you put that necklace on in pride, there's something wrong with it. There are many ungodly people who don't know anything about being saved. They don't know anything about being born again. They don't know anything about yielding their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who wear a cross around their neck. And you ask them, well, what does that cross mean? They don't know. They really don't know what it means. To them, it's a trinket. Well, that's what the psalmist is talking about. Therefore, pride serves them as a necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. they have more than heart could wish. We have some people that come up in the news from time to time, obviously ungodly people. Some of them speak loftily against God. Some of them are so proud until they exude pride. When you see them, you know that they're just as proud as they can be. They get along fine. The psalmist is talking about that. They scoff, they speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against heaven and their tongue walks through the earth. All of you know people like this. Don't want to have anything to do with the Lord until the crisis comes. And it's going to come. But before the crisis comes, they don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. They just take everything that they can take from the poor, from the needy. And let me tell you something about this. I had a thought about this passage here. If you have a credit card, you are paying on that credit card somewhere between 13.5% and 28% interest. Right? If you work diligently and save a few dollars and put a few dollars in the bank in a money market account or in a certificate of deposit, if you get 3.5%, you're doing great. They just drain everything away from you. Now, they're trying to get some legislation through Congress to keep the credit card companies from arbitrarily upping people's interest rate. Now, some of you don't think about this. When you lay that credit card on the counter, you are borrowing money. And you're borrowing money at a very high interest rate. In the early 1920s, now I know that, you know, I'm going to take you back a little bit now, but in the early 1920s, the mafia charged 10% interest, and the government considered that to be exorbitant, 10%. And they would put them in jail if they caught them charging 10% interest. Now, the banks in America can charge you 28.5% arbitrarily. It really doesn't have anything to do with anything except what they decide to do. So this is why Congress is trying to do something about that. Verse 10 in Psalm 73 says, therefore his people return, and waters of a full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Now, this is the essence of pride. The creature is saying that he who is all knowledge does not know anything, when the exact opposite is true. God knows everything. God knows everything about you, beloved, before you were born. God knew you. He knew your life. Everything's laid out before him. God knows everything. But the proud people of the world who prosper in their prosperity say, how does God know? They think God doesn't know. But behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. You know the Lord chastens his people. Now, if you have not experienced chastening, watch out. Because if you are committed to the Lord will chasten you. He will correct you. He will get you straightened up. If I said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Then I understood therein. Surely, you have set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how are they brought to desolation? In a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. The psalmist didn't really grasp the providence of God with respect to the wicked until he went into the house of the Lord. And when he went into the house of the Lord, then his senses came to him. But you see, we're sinners, beloved. And sometimes our senses flee from us, and we just don't get it. We don't understand, or we forget that Almighty God never makes a mistake. And I know the congregation fairly well, and I know that some of you have problems. And some of you probably wonder, why is God doing this to me? Well, what your attitude really should be is, God, teach me the lesson that I should learn from this experience. God, be merciful and teach me the lesson that I should learn from this experience. God will not turn his back on you if you open up to him and admit that perhaps your understanding is amiss. You know, perhaps, I don't know. I know why the Lord put me through some of the things that we went through in the church. I know that. The Lord was showing me that I didn't have it. The Lord was showing me that if Mount Carmel Church is going to succeed, if Mount Carmel Church is going to be a benefit to God's people, it's going to be God doing it through me, not me. I think a lot of pastors would do good to learn that lesson. This is why whenever someone gives me an accolade or a praise or anything, I always say, praise the Lord. Because I know from experience that I am nothing except what God has chosen to make me. That's all. That's all. And, you know, I sit and listen to some preachers talk like they're the bee's knees, you know. They're the best. Well, I'm absolutely amazed that God has seen fit to take this sinner and use him as long as he has. I'm amazed. But that's God's business. God knows what he's doing. I told my wife the other day, when God decides for me to retire, I'm going to retire and there'll be no question about it. God is altogether righteous in his judgments. And Jeremiah approaches God humbly when he says, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Let me talk with you about your judgments. Now, in order to fully appreciate what Jeremiah is doing here, you have to back up a little bit, because Jeremiah was threatened by the men of his home city, Anathoth. Back up to 11 verse 18. Now the Lord gave knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you have I revealed my cause. The men of Anathoth wanted to kill Jeremiah because they didn't appreciate his message. They wanted to put him down. They wanted to kill him, get him out of the way, kill the messenger. So Jeremiah recognizes God's righteousness And he enters this plea. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Same thing that the psalmist says. Beloved, there's some people that don't believe a thing that get along just fine. There's some preachers that don't preach anything doing just fine. I got multiple people in their churches, mega churches, big churches, thousands of people, you know. Well, whenever that subject comes up, I always think the Lord never in the Bible requires me as a preacher to be successful. You know that? Not one word in the Bible that you could rightly interpret that would indicate to me that as a preacher I must be successful. But I tell you what, all over the Bible it says I must be faithful. Everywhere. The men of his hometown had planned to kill him because he prophesied in God's name. He wasn't telling the people what he thought. He was telling the people what God said. They wanted to kill him. You have planted them, and they have taken root, and they grow and bear fruit. Now, one of the things that is obvious when we study the scriptures and we think about God's judgment is that God sometimes fattens people up for the slaughter. You know, if you were a pig farmer and you were going to sell your pigs, you'd give them some extra food right before you sell the pigs so they get fat. And the fatter they are, the more money you get for them. So, you know, the Lord does the same thing. He kind of fattens up the wicked for judgment. They think that they're doing just great. Oh, how does God know? He don't know what we're doing. We're great. We got plenty of money. We got fancy cars. We got a big house. We got good, secure job. Everything, you know, some of God's people scuffle to get a good job. And there's the wicked. They got job paying mega bucks. No problem. Well, Lord, you have known me and tested my heart toward you. So my complaint is, why aren't you prospering me like you're prospering these wicked people? This is Jeremiah now. Jeremiah is a prophet of God. How long will you allow the desolate to be so wicked and do so wickedly? How long, Lord? Now, the land mourns because of the sins of evil people. And this is a message that I wish I could get to America. We're in the throes of a presidential election now. And we have the candidates talking about what they're going to do to get America straightened out. But none of them are seriously talking about sin. Sin pollutes the land. And God told Abraham that he wasn't going to get the land of Cana, a land that flowed with milk and honey, but his descendants were going to get it because the iniquity of the Canaanites was not yet full. When the iniquity of the Canaanites became full, 400 years later, God said the land spewed them out. And we've got national sins in America, and none of the politicians seem to be sensitive to these national sins or desirous of doing anything about it. Now, God is ready now to answer Jeremiah. And he says to Jeremiah, if you can't run with the footmen without getting weary, you know, what are you going to do? You know you can't run with the horses. So what are you going to do when Jordan overflows? So what God is telling Jeremiah is, this is a little thing. Don't worry about it. I've got it under control. This is a minor thing here. You know, so I know what the people are talking about. I know that they want to kill you. I know that they've devised devices against you. But don't worry about that, because I've got it under control. God answers. Your brothers are dealing treacherously with you, and I know it. Even when they speak smooth words to you, don't believe them because they've got evil in their heart. And they may be patting you on the back, but they've got a knife in the other hand. They're getting ready to kill you. God says he has forsaken the house that he had given his heritage. He had forsaken it and was going to give it to their enemies. And this is what Jeremiah was preaching. Submit to the Babylonians because God is going to judge you with the Babylonians. Now it's too late for you to do anything else. I'm telling you, if you want to live, you have to submit to the Babylonians. They charged him with treason. Well, they have cried against him like a lion in the forest. For God declared that his heritage had become a speckled vulture, hateful, something he hates, his heritage. He hated his heritage because his heritage had become idolaters. They were swearing by Baal. They were doing all of the things that the people in the land were doing that God cast out before them to give them the land. They were doing the same thing and worse. Mercy. They had become to God a hated thing, his heritage. And you know, beloved, this is a harsh judgment, but from my perspective, it seems to be true. There are churches today that call themselves churches that are like a speckled vulture. Nothing going on inside to nurture, to preserve, to cause the growth of the saints. Nothing. This message here would be so foreign to some churches today until they would, probably all the congregation would be asleep instead of just a few, like in here. The bottom line for Jeremiah and the bottom line for Asaph and the bottom line for you and for me. God exists in eternal now. God exists in eternal now. With God, there is no past, there is no future, it's now. This is why Peter can say 1,000 years with the Lord is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. Everything with God is right now. So, what God is saying is to Jeremiah, you are concerned about the prosperity of the wicked, but from my perspective, they are already judged. From God's perspective, beloved, if you have committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been born again, from God's perspective, you've already had your life on earth, you've died, and you are with Christ now in eternity, from God's perspective. Now, time and space are created. God created time and space. But he exists outside of time and space. And this is why God can tell the prophet what's going to happen 400 or 500 years down the road, because with him is right now. Before the foundation of the world, Christ died for you and me. Before the foundation of the world. Now, how can the Bible say that? Well, the Bible says that because God exists outside of time and space. And before anything was created, God determined who would be saved, who would not be saved. He determined that Christ would come, he would minister, he would die, he would be raised up again in order that his people might be given righteousness and justification through faith in him. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world. All things are present with God. No past, no future. And remembering this when we feel down is very helpful. And beloved, I know all of us get down sometime. All of us. You know, Lord, I've been struggling, Lord. I've been working hard. I've been doing the best I can. I just don't seem to have enough to make ends meet. Isn't that true? Some of you? Lord, I'm going to the doctor, I'm getting my physicals, and I'm taking the medication, and I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing, but it just don't feel good. Well, you need to remember, God is sovereign, and providentially, He controls everything, including you and me. In fact, the Bible says He knows you and me so intimately until every hair on our head is numbered. Now that's how God knows you. God hears the murmurings of the land because of sin. Sin and evil and wickedness in the land pollutes the land. And beloved, we need to know that. Those of us who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ need to do everything that we can do to walk uprightly before the Lord so that if the Lord would favor the land at all, it will be because of our uprightness. When Abraham contended with God over the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, it came down to 10 people. And God said to Abram, if there were 10 righteous in the city, I would not destroy it. And I think America is getting along fairly well, not too much today, but have gotten along fairly well because of the righteous people in this nation. As previously pronounced, the sword of Babylon was going to devour the land, and God says that they're going to be ashamed of the harvest, ashamed of the harvest for which they have labored, because sin pollutes the land. Sin pollutes the land. I'll tell you something else, folks. Sin pollutes your home. If you're living in a home where sin is pervasive in the home, you can look for the chastening of the Lord. Now, it may not come right away, but it's going to come. The family that prays together stays together. You want your home to be happy. You want your children to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Take care of your family devotions in the home day by day. And when God gives you a difficulty, don't accuse God of being hard on you and light on the wicked. Ask God, Lord, show me what you're teaching me through this difficulty. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you have seen fit to reveal these things to us, the ministry of Jeremiah and the ministry of Asaph, the singer in Israel and psalmist. And we just pray, Lord, that we would learn the lesson that you are sovereign. Providentially, you control all things. You never make a mistake. And whatever you're doing to us is for our good. We do thank you for this lesson. We thank you for this time. And I praise you that you have strengthened me to get through this sermon. Praise the Lord. We thank you, our Father, and we ask you to bless us according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.